From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Mass protests are taking place on Friday in London and other cities around Britain, putting US President Donald Trump on notice that he is not welcome. Trump had cancelled plans in the past in anticipation of being met by protesters, and this week's four-day visit to the UK marks his first time in the country as president. The trip is designed to avoid the major cities where protests are taking place. Among the tactics getting widespread attention is a massive Trump baby balloon that activists won approval to fly in London's skies. London Mayor Sadiq Khan, the city's first Muslim mayor, had been in a Twitter spat with Trump some months ago. We go now to the UK to speak with one of the protest organizers ahead of the planned actions. Sebastián Ordoño Muñez is the Senior International Programs Officer of Latin America with the group War on Want. He's also co-founder of Movimiento Jaguar Despierto, which is a London-based social justice collective connecting issues of race, migration, and social justice. Welcome to the program, Sebastián.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And it's a very busy day for you. You and I are speaking on Thursday ahead of the major protests, although, of course, people have been gearing up in the streets of London, I understand. First, tell us what has been happening so far as Trump has essentially landed in the UK on Air Force One.
Well, I think a number of groups are already preparing for tomorrow's large 100,000 people march and protest up and down the country. But as you've rightly pointed out in your intro there, there are a number of groups that have decided to greet him to let him know right from the off that he, his politics and the policies that he represents are not welcome in the UK.
And actually, here are the sounds of some of the protesters greeting Trump, anticipating him as Air Force One is landing. And these are some of the sights and sounds from London and the UK in general, and cities around the UK that are anticipating a massive march on Friday. Tell us what is expected to happen on Friday before we get into the myriad reasons why people are protesting Trump.
Yeah, so I think what you're going to find on Friday is a very diverse, a very wide platform of different groups that have very real and ongoing struggles that are represented by Trump, by his policies, by his politics. And what we're going to have tomorrow is we're going to convene in central London and walk to London's Trafalgar Square. And what you're going to see is a coming together of a diverse group of communities, of organizations, of migrant communities, of refugees, of women and LGBTQI groups, all rejecting different and violent aspects of Trump's policies and politics around the world, but also a rejection of how the Trump's policies and politics are being normalized and welcomed by the UK government.
So I understand that a lot of the activism is aimed at the UK government then and not just Trump. Your organization, War on Want, has referred to it not just as sort of Trump, but Trumpism. The Guardian article pointed out that it's important to reject the president's policies, not the individual person. How are his policies being normalized by Theresa May's government and even in a way by EU heads of state, despite the confrontational gathering in Brussels this week?
So I think as a fundamental basis, what we can say is that Trump's sort of has emboldened right-wing politicians and groups in the EU and around the world. And what that's doing is creating a fertile ground for the climate crisis, for rising inequality, for scapegoating migrants and refugees, and for misogyny. So I think specific to the UK, and something that we really want to highlight is that Theresa May's government and previous UK governments have also created a hostile environment for migrants, which disproportionately affect migrant communities, which disproportionately affect women. And what we're saying is that the same system of oppression that Trump represents, is something which is being also implemented in many distinct ways in the UK. Just to give you one or two examples, I think the clearest manifestation of, for example, the zero tolerance policy and the hostile environment policies, which is a similar policy in the UK, has led to over 155 families being separated under Theresa May's government.
So the same kinds of family separation that has scandalized most Americans is also being seen in the UK?
Absolutely. There is an outright policy across Europe to create borders, to create walls, to create a hostile environment for for migrants and refugees. We're seeing detention camps and immigration detention centers springing up and really creating what's been called Fortress Europe. But I guess the other fundamental element, and which is related to Trump's agenda in the UK, has to do with the talks around trade that he's due to have with Theresa May. Now, we know, and it's been documented far and wide, the level of impact on the environment, on workers, on public services, that the type of US trade deals have had on global South countries in Latin America and Asia. That same type of trade deal, or at least in design, is the same type of trade deal that they'll be discussing. So where there's this this underlying or this so-called special relationship between the UK and the US, really it's going to undermine the protections on environment, on health, and on workers, which the UK population and community values so much.
So this carnival of resistance, as it's being called, as these Stop Trump protests are being called, and this major Stop Trump coalition is calling it, I understand is going to be drawing and is drawing something on the order of 100,000 people across the UK. Some of the signs that we've been seeing on social media refer to not just the immigration issues that you've been discussing, but also in general, the sort of racism that is part of Trumpism, of which I know Europe and UK has its own sort of unique struggles. But are you also sort of seeing a coming together among the British public in rallying around migrants, that on the one side you see Trump and Theresa May, and on the other side you see those people who are desperately fleeing war or poverty, and who in general contribute very positively to communities in the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, just to give you an example, very recently, a public attitude survey, one of the most well-known in the UK, recently showed that social attitudes towards migration have become much more positive in comparison to, I think it was 2011. And I think it's a fair reflection of the type of the rejection of the type of discriminatory, bigoted, racist policies that this government has represented. And I think London is a prime example of that. And you're going to have Muslim communities and communities of African descent, and you're going to have Latin American communities, and you're going to have Asian communities coming together and showing to Trump and to the UK how each of the specific struggles that they represent are fundamental to maintaining or to making sure that we are able to live in a UK society that's fair, that's equal, and that's just.
Sebastian, if you don't mind me just asking you, could you look straight into the camera like you're doing right now during your answers? It just makes your shot look better. All right.
Sure.
So I can't resist asking you about the Trump baby balloon, which was approved to fly over the skies of London. Activists weren't sure that would be approved, but it was approved. And, some have sort of said that that's a little bit insulting to Trump. What do you make of this balloon? And tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the Trump baby balloon is a representation of the U.S. president's thin skin and his narcissism. We know that he's not going to be in London per se during the different meetings that he's due to have. And the line, I guess, it's they're trying to say that it has nothing to do with the protests. But we know that the president of the United States will be watching very closely, and it's actually a representation or a very British way of receiving him, as well as the carnival of resistance and all of the different smaller initiatives that people are taking to make sure their message comes across loud and clear.
So the protests have been sort of threatened for Trump's arrival to the UK for the past year and a half. And there, as I mentioned, there have been plans for Trump to visit the UK that he's canceled because people have threatened these protests. What do you expect to happen coming out of these protests? What, is this also putting the UK government on notice that the British people do not want their government to normalize Trump?
Absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think we want to go way beyond this specific march, right? This is a march that's allowing many different communities, organizations, trade unions to come together from many diverse sectors and say there is an outright rejection to trade policy, to the UK's immigration policy, to the UK's policies around human rights and the active hostile environment that they're creating for communities of color. So I think beyond the march will be symbolic, which will be watched by viewers and by people and by other communities, oppressed communities around the world. It's a symbolic sign to say there is a massive coming together of struggles, of different needs and demands, and that they're not going to go away, and they're going to continue growing, creating that sense of mutual aid, of mutual solidarity. We're in a world where, as the Zapatistas in Chiapas in Mexico say, a world where many worlds fit.
Now, while Theresa May is facing this criticism from the grassroots in the UK, she's of course facing her own political crisis around how the UK is exiting from the European Union as part of the Brexit negotiations. She had two top ministers resign over her handling of the Brexit deals. What do we here in the United States need to understand about about Brexit and some of these issues we've been discussing around Trumpism, around anti-immigrant rhetoric?
Well, the main focus, at least, of Warren Wants work has been around what the trade agenda that the UK is going to be promoting after Brexit, and what that's going to mean not only for communities in the UK but for the global south as well. As I've previously said, we know that the type of free trade agenda that's being promoted both by the US and the UK historically, and by that matter by the European Union and the Commission, is one which fundamentally is based on extracting the natural resources and of the global south, and the super exploitation of workers in the global south for the profits of corporations and to benefit I guess the elite and economic and political power in the global north. And that's something that's worrying, and it's an interesting turn of I guess a critical debate that's being thrown up in the air is precisely what that type of trade deals with countries like the United States will mean for the environment, for health, for workers in the UK.
So is do you think that Theresa May's government will survive the political crisis she's facing? And if she doesn't, if her career doesn't survive this, if her tenure doesn't survive this, what could replace what sort of new leadership would replace her, and would that be better for Britain or not?
Well, I'm sure you heard about the general election last year, which happened, and where the Tories thought that they were going to be able to have an outright majority in Parliament, and it was a walkover over Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party. What we saw was a mass movement of predominantly young people, of migrant communities, of trade unions coming together and rejecting the Tory agenda, the Tory policies, and we saw the Labour Party become absolutely strengthened. So I think tomorrow's protest and this, you know, the next few days' protests are indeed a continuation of that coming together of young people in many diverse sectors that rallied behind Jeremy Corbyn and will now rally against and reject the policies and politics that that Trump and May represent. So to answer your question, if the crisis in the government deepens and there is a general election that's called, I think the support for Jeremy Corbyn and the rejection of Trumpism are synonymous, and we can only hope that the politics of the Labour Party, which under their slogan is for the many and not for the few, is the type of society that the British public want to live in and want to promote, and we can only remain hopeful in that sense.
So in the next few days, as Trump conducts his visit to the UK, of course, I believe half his visit is going to be spent on his golf course in Scotland, and he's avoiding these major cities. But I understand that there's major police presence in London. Police are, as one article in The Guardian pointed out, jittery, and they have erected barriers. How has London been fortified and militarized to contain the protests against Trump?
Yeah, I think one of the things to mention was that we were hoping to have a rally at the beginning of the protest and at the end of the protest. There have been, and I guess I've been more on the organizing the grassroots blocks in the march, but there's been talk of possibly not being able to have one of the platforms. And I think this is a reflection of some foul play of the government not wanting these protests to go ahead. But it's also, I guess, symptomatic of the type of sort of police state apparatus that comes together and activates every time there is social protest, there is social mobilization, and this is something which predominantly affects and disproportionately affects communities of color in the UK, and as in the US, as we've clearly seen. But communities all over the global south have to deal with this day in and day out. So where I think it does also bring into question the whole the way in which the state and police and police violence and police brutality intervene to defend the economic and political interests of what Trump represents and who he represents.
Right. And Trump himself is bringing and has brought a massive security detail as part of his visit to the UK. You know, it's not clear if it's the sort of normal or sized security detail or a little bit amped up in anticipation of protests, even though he's going nowhere near the mass protests on the ground. Or perhaps it's just a show of force to say, look how strong the US's military is. Sebastian, how have people responded to Trump's insistence that NATO members double their commitment towards militarism? He, you know, currently NATO members are required to spend 2% of their entire nation's budgets on their militaries. A lot of the NATO countries haven't even reached that 2%, but he wants the countries to spend 4%. He left the NATO summit claiming that he succeeded in getting countries to agree to this. And of course, country representatives said no such thing happened. But how have people in the UK responded to this?
Well, I think when you say that, you know, Trump may be bringing a much bigger, much more robust security detail to the UK to show US sort of military power, is a well-known factor of US foreign policy and its imperialism around the world. So I think NATO, which is the very representation of military power in defense of imperial powers around the world, it's a continuation of those policies. And as Latin Americans, one of the very clear things that we certainly wish to see is for an end to interventions in Latin America and interference with Latin American states.
So tell us finally then a little bit about the organizations that you work for. First, War on Want, where you are the Senior International Programs Officer for Latin America. You're also the co-founder of an organization called Movimiento Jaguar Despierto, because here in the United States, we aren't as aware of all the great social justice work that is quite similar to our own here.
So yeah, I think, you know, I'll begin with Movimiento Jaguar Despierto because it's really the group that I grew up with. So I'm Colombian and I'm a political refugee. My family had to flee conflict back in the 90s. And
so you understand intimately what migrants are going through, both those reaching Europe and those traveling to the United States.
Absolutely. I think war or the type of conflict that was generated in Colombia is a symptom of the type of system that sought to control land in Colombia. So in many ways, all of the 8 million people that have had to flee because of the Colombian the conflict in Colombia are again victims in some way of the foreign policy interventions, of the type of policies that the U.S. Has promoted in Latin America for so long. But just to get back to, you know, what we're doing as a community here in the Latinx bloc, and we call it Latinx bloc in solidarity and in recognition of our gender fluid community. And we're organizing as a feminist Latinx bloc to be in solidarity with all of those migrant families, not only Latin American, but all of the migrant families that are subjected to the violence and the discrimination and the racism in the US. It's primarily about showing our solidarity with those communities, but also, again, making sure that this government knows, on the one hand, that there is a vibrant Latin American community resisting and struggling for their rights as migrants and as and their human rights. So that's also what we want to show. And at War on Want, you know, we're an anti-poverty human rights charity, and we believe in a world free from oppression, and we stand together for global justice. So really, you know, we work on issues related to economic justice and to progressive trade and issues around the militarism and security industry and how the UK finances right. And legitimizes. So it's a really, you know, all of those different issues which come together as a rejection against Trump is a perfect opportunity for us to make that message and amplify the voices of those who are struggling on the ground.
Well, Sebastian, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck on Friday. You and I are speaking ahead of the mass protests expected in London, although there have been many actions already. We'll link to your website, waronwant.org, from our website. Thanks so much.
Sanali, thank you very much.
Sebastian Ordóñez Muñoz is a Senior International Programs Officer for Latin America with the group War on Want. He's also co-founder of Movimiento Jaguar Despierto, a London-based social justice collective connecting issues of race, migration, and social justice. We've been discussing the Stop Trump protests in the UK. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.